Gilbert Central on CheeseheadDeep.com. Welcome, everyone. It is Tuesday. It's July 19th, and we're talking about your Green Bay Packers. Joining me to kick off the show is Amanda Lawson of Air Sports. Amanda, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us today as we take a look across the Packers blogosphere and meet some of the bloggers. Amanda, the news of the day here is that some players have actually been told to report to Green Bay, or at least that's the word that's coming out of the media. Are you ready for the lockout to be over here finally?
You know, I'm just so ready. I'm just so sick of hearing, well, maybe, maybe not, and I know everybody else is too. So hopefully, keeping my fingers crossed that this will be the final say.
I think everybody's hoping the same thing, and even if today's not the final day, it looks like it's coming soon at least. Amanda, just can you tell us a little bit about yourself and perhaps as how you became a Packer fan? I do this with every guest that comes on the show.
Sure. Well, I'm originally from Wisconsin, and that's where I was born and raised, and actually most of my family's from Illinois, and they're all Bears fans. But my dad, when he became a Packers fan, he just loved who the team was, and I guess you could kind of say I picked it up from him. I don't know. It was something every Sunday we watched football, and it was like either you join the crowd or you go out and do chores. So I picked up football when I was pretty young.
Yeah, I think your experience is typical of most people in the region in Wisconsin. So, you know, specifically, you write for Air Sports, and they, you know, it's a collection of many blogs, but you write for the Packers blog, Rogers That. How'd you become involved at Air Sports?
Well, Lauren actually reached out to me, and she's the head Packer reporter for our site, and she just asked. She wanted some help writing, and she saw via social media that I was really into Packers and football, and I actually was just starting to write for another sports website, and so just seeing that I liked to do it, that I was into it, she asked me, and I was more than thrilled to help out.
Very good. In your most recent blog post, I see you took a couple shots at former Packers quarterback Brett Favre and how he's mentoring Joe Webb, a quarterback from the Minnesota Vikings. Is Brett Favre the type of person who will just never be the same in your eyes again?
You know what? I missed everything that went down with Brett Favre because I was studying abroad right after the 2007 season. So when I came back, I pretty much just was like, oh, we got a new quarterback, like, we're moving on. And then then people were informing me of all the drama that went down. So I missed that big, like, cold shoulder feeling. I don't really have a problem with Brett Favre. I think that he probably could have gone out in a better way. But, I don't know. I just thought it was a fun post to write, and I know there's a lot of people out there who would enjoy a few stabs at Favre, so...
Certainly, you're not alone. That's quite funny that you happened to be out of the country at the time. You missed quite a brouhaha. I'm sure you've been informed of what happened while you were gone.
Definitely.
Later in this episode, Amanda will be previewing the tight ends here on Railbird Central. Do you have any thoughts on the tight ends or how they might perform this year for the Packers?
You know, it's interesting. I know a lot of people were all hoping that JerMichael Finley will get back in here and really step up the game, give us a few more options on our offense. But, you know, it's hard to say because last year everybody thought that we were going to come in and just be in a season. We had such a good-looking team, but, you know, injuries plague. So I'm so paranoid to say anything because it's like, you know, the season changes, and it's hard to say.
Yeah, I mean, you can't predict the future, that's for sure. We're speaking to Amanda Lawson of Air Sports here on Railbird Central. Amanda, you made brief mention of it before here. You write for a couple other sites. Do you quick want to give them a plug, let our readers know where else you can they can read your writing?
Sure. I actually write for MidwestSportsFans.com. It's just a collaboration of all of these writers who love the Midwest and their sports. And I specifically write a baseball column featuring the Twins.
Oh, that's terrible. The Twins.
I know. It's an interesting blog. It's called The Beginning Baseball, and I actually just picked up baseball this year. And so it's all about how I decided to become a Twins fan and my process of learning how to become a baseball fan, basically.
So I'm sure Packers fans want to know, though, why not the Brewers? I mean, if you kind of just became a baseball fan, I mean, why didn't you go with the in-state baseball team?
The Brewers were actually right up there within my selection. I went through like a pretty detailed process. You know, I started with the entire MLB and just like went down, eliminated based on the things that I had that I wanted to see in a team. And I just did my research, and I found that I kept pulling myself towards the Twins, and the whole time I'm kicking myself. I was like, oh, this is going to come back to bite me in the butt. I know it is. But, yeah,
I'm just teasing you, Amanda. That's fine. Well, as long as you're a Packers fan, I'm sure everybody will give you a pass on this show. But thank you so much for joining us this morning. Appreciate talking to you, and we're excited to talk to Lauren later in the show.
Yes. Well, thank you for having us on. We were more than thrilled to come on and talk with you.
No problem. Have a good morning, Amanda, and take care.
You too.
Thanks a lot. Amanda Lawson of Air Sports joining us here on Railbird Central. How you doing today, everyone? Quite the news coming up last night. We referenced it briefly earlier, but the big news of the day, the Packers have been informed to come to Green Bay this weekend. The lockout is apparently ending on Friday, and there will be a team meeting on Saturday. And this is a week before training camp is slated to begin. So it's kind of weird that, you know, that all of a sudden the news came Packers should report to Green Bay. This didn't happen for any other team in the NFL, at least as of last night when the news broke. Just the Packers. All of a sudden, the Packers. So, you know, the controversy is that the lockout is technically still in effect, even though it looks like things are, you know, all but over. It looks like this thing is finally guaranteed to be over here within a matter of days, if not even hours here. But as of now, to my knowledge, everything we've learned from the media, the lockout is still in effect. So, you know, people are wondering, you know, why have the Packers, did they contact the Packers? A couple, including very highly touted quarterback Aaron Rodgers, have denied that he has heard of any such thing. He has not been contacted and told to come to Green Bay. Now, I don't know if that's just what he's been told to say or, you know, I mean, because apparently several reporters have confirmed that this did happen. Now, you know, I've heard a lot of rumors this offseason about contact between the team and the players. And, you know, it's funny, you know, technically the rule is, the teams, the coaches cannot have contact with the players, and you know, unless they've been given special dispensation like they did for the Super Bowl ring ceremony. But you hear of things like I believe Aaron Nagler here at Cheesehead TV said if they so much as saw a player at a grocery store, they would report that to the NFL just in case to err on the side of caution. And now we hear this that the lockout's still on, but the Packers have contacted players to come to Green Bay, but technically they still can't contact them. So, I've heard other things like there's ways around this. Contact the player's parents. There's no rule that says you can't contact their parents. So, you could imagine a conversation between first round draft choice Derek Sherrod's mother and head coach Mike McCarthy. I can see Mike McCarthy. Just hypothetically here, I'm just making this up, probably more for my own amusement or anything. But Mrs. Sherrod, it would be in your son's best interest to come to Green Bay this Saturday for a team meeting if and when, wink, wink, the NFL lockout ends any minute now. So I suppose that could have been a way that players could have been contacted. So here we go, John Rayor pointing out on our live blog here from TJ Lang, where did these rumors about calling people come from? No call for me. I hope I'm still on the team. So and the thing here is, and I guess I can maybe give us a little direction here on the show by pointing out today's Packers Daily Links. If you scroll to the top of the live blog, I left a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links, kind of a roadmap for the show today. And if you happen to follow along, you'll see a page that looks like this. And the top story today comes from Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette. If you click this little link that says Weight Room and Classroom Sessions, here's the report from PackersNews.com, the online home to the Green Bay Press Gazette. And, at the very bottom here, the last paragraph, Pete Doherty writes, quote, "Sources have told PackersNews.com in recent weeks that the team would likely bring players in prior to the start of camp for weight room and classroom sessions." So there you go. I mean, that's not coming from the Packers themselves. That's coming from Pete Doherty in the Green Bay Press Gazette and his sources. But it makes sense to me. I mean, the scheduled start of training camp is a week from Saturday, July 30th. That's when everybody's believed training camp would begin, based upon, history, based upon the past, what the Packers have done in the past under head coach Mike McCarthy. So that's the official start. Now, if this thing ends, of course, the Packers haven't practiced all off-season long like they normally would have. And who's especially behind the eight ball are the rookies and first-year players. Guys who, learn the offense in the May, June, July time frame. So they're not coming into training camp with zero knowledge like they are this year. So perhaps what's going on is that it's not the veterans on the team who are going to report this weekend. Again, this is my thoughts. I'm speculating. This is not true. But perhaps the rookies on the team, like I said, I made this situation before about Derek Sherrod. Maybe the draft choices, maybe the rookies they're going to sign any time now, will be reporting to Green Bay. As much as a week ahead of time, so they can lift weights and, get a little bit of knowledge perhaps before the veterans arrive, before guys like Aaron Rodgers come into camp and, get things underway. And I suppose that would make sense. They might not practice per se, the rookies, but, if they're in the classroom and in the weight room, that's a good thing, I guess. Why wouldn't it be? I mean, I think there's got to be some sort of introductory period for them. So that would have happened with the rookie orientation camp right after the draft. You know, in a normal year, they would have had a rookie orientation camp week after the draft. 2 weeks after the draft, I guess, this year it was supposed to be. But didn't happen. So there you go. I'm just trying to catch up on the comments here on our live blog. And here we go. John Rahor, one of our bloggers here at CheeseheadDB.com, sharing with us a couple of the tweets from players on Twitter about players being contacted, and shares the one here from Aaron Rodgers verbatim. "I definitely haven't been contacted about anything in Green Bay this weekend, for the record." Jared Bush, "I don't know where you're getting your info. I haven't heard a peep from Pack, so check your sources, sir." So here you go. All the veterans, at least, have, you know, coming out and saying they haven't been contacted. But Chad Toporsky here points out, the thing is, if it wasn't for Wildy, referring to Jason Wildy of ESPNMilwaukee.com, confirming the story, I would be a lot more skeptical of PFT's report. Of course, the report originally came from ProFootballTalk.com, Mike Florio, you know, their head man over there, their head honcho, it's since been reported by other places, our own Aaron Nagler, Jason Wildy, Pete Doherty. So apparently this has happened, but I don't know. Again, like I said, maybe, you know, for the sake of the Packers breaking the rules, the players have been told to say, hey, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod, we haven't contacted you about this. So it's weird. I don't know what to make of this situation. And by all means, if anybody else wants to comment, speculate, throw out some wild guesses here, be my guest. That's what we're here for. 646-797-2909. 646-797-2909. Franklin Hillside says, "I would be nervous if I was a veteran and I got contacted now." Would be, wouldn't you? It's funny how this is all played out here. We'll be talking about this on the show this morning, and this will probably be a non-story 24 hours from now. Just, something will come out that it was a hoax, or perhaps, you know, players haven't been contacted at all. I don't know what the deal is. We're just, like I said, that's what this show is for. We're just speculating, and unless the Packers want to give the real story here, I mean, what else are we supposed to do? When reports come out, when we have, you know, people I respect, Jason Wildy, Pete Doherty, coming out and saying this happened, you know, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to not believe it, even though players are saying it? You know, the Packers could fix this at any time by, you know, issuing a press release and saying what happened. But, you know, we're excited here about football. We want to know what happened, and we want to know when training camp's going to begin here. From Packer T, "Lang, Zombo, or McDonald have not been contacted." For what that's worth. In other news today, there is an interesting story coming out of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, a feature on Donald Driver. I left it in today's Packers Daily Links. Again, if you take a look at this, an article from Lori Nickel of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. If you click this link that says Donald Driver, it'll take you to jsonline.com. And a pretty interesting feature on the beloved wide receiver, veteran wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers. Had there been off-season practices this year, this probably would have been a pretty big topic, because Donald Driver insinuated, you know, had there been OTAs, had there been mini camp, he may not have practiced at all. When, you know, people who don't practice get the media attention, of course, get the scrutiny. So, you know, here's here's the direct quote from Donald Driver here at JS Online. Quote, "The lockout gave me the opportunity to heal and not try to rush back to prove to people or prove to the media I'm not done yet," Driver said. "If I didn't show up for OTAs and I'm hurt and everything, people would say I may be winding down." You know, it's possible. Again, speculation, but I mean, you know, all you got to do is tell people the story and perhaps they wouldn't speculate, you know, why you're missing practices. But, well, I suppose they still could speculate that his career was winding down. But anyhow, Donald Driver hurt in the Super Bowl, sprained ankle. According to Lori Nichol, spent 2 months in a walking boot. So, you know, it wasn't a broken ankle by any means, but, you know, kind of looked to be a severe sprain. Spent 2 months in a walking boot, and but did rehab it, although he couldn't do it at the Packers facilities because of the lockout. Did get treatment from the Michael Johnson Performance Center in McKinney, Texas, and Donald Driver makes his off-season home in Texas, I know. So, and the Michael Johnson Performance Center is very well-known, Michael Johnson being the Olympic champion in the 400 and the 200-meter dash. Boy, we're talking the 1996 time frame. Former world record holder as well. So, interesting with Donald Driver. Of course, we, you know, the question this poses is, you know, where is he? Is he done? Is his career wrapped up? And, you know, of course, I don't think it is. Not by a long shot. Yeah, he probably had, you know, one of the worst years of his career this past year because in part of injuries. He missed a couple games. But, you know, Donald Driver has shown over the years to be the type of guy that, you know, is not frequently injured. This was kind of against the grain, against the norm for him. So, I think he's, you know, going to be fine. Donald Driver is going to bounce back. And, you know, he might not be the leading wide receiver on the team. Those days might be over. But, you know, he's still going to be his usual self, impactful, the type of guy who can go over the middle, take a hit. You know, that's the Donald Driver we all know and love. That's his value to the team. A possession receiver. You know, he's maybe perhaps used to be a guy that could stretch the field. And it's not like he's slow by any means, but he's not the kind of guy who's going to score on an 80-yard fly pattern, you know, for a touchdown anymore. He's the type of guy who's going to go run a post pattern over the middle, get cracked by the safety, but hang on to the ball. You know, that's the Donald Driver. And bounce right back up. We've seen it so many times. And when Donald Driver was healthy last year, he was effective, evidenced by that touchdown catch that zigzagging through defenders and breaking tackles, I believe, against the San Francisco 49ers last December. Amazing play. Amazing play. So, yes, I think he will bounce back. He will be good this year. And you'll get your, you know, a year in which he has 40, 50 receptions and, you know, he's got to share the ball with Greg Jennings and JerMichael Finley and Jordy Nelson and among a cast of characters of others. You know, there's only one ball that can go around. So, you know, if Donald Driver has 40 catches this year, it's not going to concern me as long as he plays well. He's contributing to the team. David says, or make ridiculous one-handed catches. Yes. Chad Taporsky asked, you think Driver will play for another team before he retires? I don't think so. Donald Driver signed a contract extension prior to this past season that basically will keep him in Green Bay for the rest of his career. You know, perhaps another year or two down the road, if his play would happen to decline precipitously, which I don't think will happen. But if it does, you know, could the Packers cut him at some point? I suppose so. But, you know, he's the type of guy who I think retires as a Packer. And, you know, not one of those situations where he goes to another team and then signs a one-day contract to retire as a Packer. A guy who will actually retire with the Packers is playing when his playing career is done. So the last game he'll play for is for the Green Bay Packers. I think that'll happen. I think Donald Driver has a few good years left in him. He said he wants to play until he's 40. I mean, what is he right now? I believe he's 36, 37. So, you know, he could, you know, have 3-4 more years in him. And that last 1 or 2 year might be, you know, in the decline for sure. You know, perhaps a role player on the team, but a veteran savvy presence nonetheless, a mentor. But again, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Donald Driver looks to set a record this year. Is it all-time yardage receiving record? I believe he's the all-time leader in catches for the franchise. Am I correct? And you guys can point this out on the live blog if you want and confirm this or tell me I'm full of it. But I think he's the all-time leader in receptions. But he's shortly, you know, within a season here, all, you know, considering he doesn't get hurt, he'll break the all-time yardage record, receiving yardage record, held by James Lofton, if I'm correct. So, there you go. John Rahor comments, no way Driver will play for another team. Lessons learned in the past will make sure he retires a Packer. Are we insinuating that lesson learned would be from Brett Favre? David says, wouldn't bother me at all if he ended up with another team. This is a business after all. I mean, if the Packers happened to part ways with them, I certainly wouldn't be mad if Donald Driver signed with another team. I just don't see it happening to begin with. But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be mad either. I mean, if the Packers part ways, you know, if it's of the Packers doing, nobody gets, you know, too caught up with that. Nobody got mad when Al Harris signed with another team this past season. You know, they did get took a little umbrage with Brett Favre, I think, many Packer fans, when he decided to retire and was offered to come back and declined and danced around for a while, that whole decision. So, you know, again, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. We're, you know, guessing things that may or may not happen. But anyway, you know, that's the fun, isn't it? Trying to take a guess, take a stab. We're almost to the bottom of the hour here. At 8:30, we'll have Lauren Fernandez of Air Sports joining us here on Railbird Central. And the second half of the show here, we'll also be previewing the tight end position of the Green Bay Packers as we work our way through all the positions prior to training camp here on Railbird Central. So look forward to that. At the tight end position, quite interesting this year. Packers drafted 2 tight ends during the draft to go at a position that most people thought was had pretty good depth to begin with. So it'll be interesting to see how things play out in training camp and who makes the roster this year. So be prepared for that. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Lauren Fernandez of Air Sports. So hang with me here. We'll be back shortly.
This is Brett Swain from the Green Bay Packers, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
You're watching Cheesehead TV here on Railbird Central, or vice versa. You're watching Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. And joining me right now on the phone is Lauren Fernandez of Air Sports. How are you doing this morning, Lauren?
Doing great, Brian. How are you?
Fantastic. Thanks for joining me today. Lauren, like Amanda before you, can you just give us a little bit of background about yourself and perhaps how you became a Packers fan?
Sure. I guess in my day job, I work in PR and social media for a couple of big brands for Fleischmann Hillard in Kansas City. And I became a Packers fan. Actually, my mom's from Wisconsin, but I grew up in Texas. My dad's a huge Cowboys fan. Grew up in a Cowboys household. Everyone in my family loves the Cowboys. I was about 4, and my dad likes to joke that I love cheese in the color green, so that's why I became a Packers fan. But he actually told me that, you know, I could just choose whatever team I wanted to, so I decided to go for the Packers, and it's been love ever since.
You made a wise decision. You know, just like Amanda, you also write for the Packers blog at Air Sports, but, you know, can you tell us a little bit about the site in general? I think you're a little bit involved there with the overarching Air Sports platform there. And, you know, for people that might not know, Air Sports caters to a specific type of writer.
Yes. Our site is actually all women, all sports, so we have 70-plus kind of individual sites in one network, and it's everything from baseball to football, NCAA, hockey, soccer, all kinds of different things, and, you know, it's really great. We have, you know, it's not no males at all. We have male contributors all the time that come on to our sites and write, and, you know, Amanda and I write for the Packers. I also write for the Rangers on baseball, since I'm from Texas, and I also work on the overarching kind of social media presence that our site has, whether it's, you know, tweeting, it's sharing our posts, it's scheduling appearances, all that kind of stuff. So our CEO is actually a Bears fan, and for some reason she left me on the Twitter account, and, you know, I think she made a good decision.
I think so, too. Lauren, I originally connected with you through Twitter. As you said, you're very big into social networking. Can you just talk a little bit more about how social networking plays into your job and your life as a Packers fan? Now, last time I checked, you have quite a large number of followers on Twitter. What's that number up to?
It's, I believe, around 8,200.
Oh. How do you do that?
Well, I started on Twitter back in July 2008. It originally started as an effort that I did with Mensa. I used to do PR and social media for Mensa, so they're really smart people, and it was a great way for us to connect with our members and with people that are interested. And so I kind of just started talking, and I talk a lot about things like whiskey and grilled cheese, and people seem to find that amusing. And, you know, also talking about football, you know, guys love it, girls love it, and I was able to kind of build a core following and great friends and people I've met over the years, and, you know, really been able to do that. And in my day job, I do a lot of social media efforts, whether it's digital strategy, it's all kinds of different things, and, you know, it's for clients that we have, and it's thinking of measurement analytics, it's thinking of approaches, it's thinking of the platforms that they should be on, how they connect with consumers, how, you know, we can do customer service, different things like that. So it's basically a 24/7 type deal for me, and, you know, of course I talk about football and talk about how during the Super Bowl I am a Steelers fan because he told me that no cute girls are ever Packers fans, so, you know, kind of had a problem with that, so I showed him what was up, and, you know, that's kind of what I tweet about.
Are you a member of Mensa?
No.
Okay. I just had to ask that follow-up question, but anyhow, Lauren, in your most recent post at Rogers that you write about the Packers' big five wide receivers in the running game, and you wrote, if it's not broke, why fix it? So I assume you're expecting more of the same from the Packers' offense this year. Is that correct?
That's actually true, and I really do think, you know, I'm kind of with you where I don't think the driver is going on the downhill. I really do think he's still a great receiver. You know, hopefully we'll have Finley back healthy. He'll be able to kind of help with the big four play, and, you know, I'm also a big Swain fan, but I do think drafting Cobb that we're going to see him kind of transition into that slot, and we'll see Swain and him kind of switch off and on till, you know, McCarthy sees who's actually the best player and who actually is the best fit for that. We have really strong receivers. You know, we do have good running backs, but I don't think it's wise to focus on drafting running backs when we actually have a great passing game as well, and that's where you see Rodgers comfortable too.
Coming up here on Railbird Central, we're going to be previewing the tight ends. Lauren, any opinions on this year's tight ends, JerMichael Finley, how they might do this season?
You know what? I really like Finley when he's healthy. Before he went down last year, he had 200-plus yard games. He would be a great asset in converting in third down, which is what we need. You know, we have drafted DJ Williams, who really isn't the ideal height or size for a tight end. You know, he's kind of a move tight end like Dallas Clark is, kind of like a supersized wide receiver. And, you know, Donald Lee has really kind of gone a little bit downhill. You know, he's had like 575 or so yards and 6 touchdowns in 2007. He's kind of gone to 73 in 2010. But so I think we'll see, you know, Williams and Finley really playing off each other if Finley can stay healthy.
Wow, I'm impressed. Very good. Lauren, thank you so much for coming on the show today, and thanks to Amanda as well. And one more time, they're from airsports.com. And thanks a lot, Lauren.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye.
Lauren Fernandez of airsports.com and the Packers blog, Rogers That. Thank you so much to Amanda and Lauren for joining us on the show today. Wow, how about the knowledge bombs being dropped by Lauren there, talking about Donald Lee being on the downside of his career, and that's why they've moved on from him. But Finley and draft choice DJ Williams perhaps being one of the cornerstones of the Packers offense this year. There you go. And I'll try to do my best to keep up with that and talk about the Packers tight ends here as we work our way through all the positions prior to training camp here in Railbird Central. So, you know, I made brief mention of it earlier. The Packers drafted 2 tight ends this year at a position that most people thought, pardon me here as I take a drink of coffee, gotta wet the whistle. At a position most people thought was pretty deep to begin with. So, you know, drafting, you know, 2 tight ends came as a bit of surprise. And, you know, DJ Williams being perhaps one of the best tight ends in this year's draft class. So, anyway, you know, we have to start with JerMichael Finley. And, of course, JerMichael Finley kind of made headlines just this past weekend by saying the Packers will be in Indianapolis. He didn't go as far as saying the Packers would win the Super Bowl, but he did say, quote, "We will be in Indianapolis and they'll be in the Super Bowl." So there you go. And you know, Finley, of course, being an outspoken player, you know, frequently makes reference to Yoto on Twitter, Year of the Takeover. Supposedly that was last year. And, you know, just, you know, during the Super Bowl last year, the whole fiasco, how, you know, he and Nick Barnett were not going to be, and the rest of the players on injured reserve were not going to be part of the Super Bowl team photo, and how that got all blown out of proportion. And, you know, Finley was one of the players tweeting about it and, you know, kind of caused a little bit of ruckus in the media. So, you know, he's not a person who's going to hold back his thoughts. And you know, he's very outspoken, that's for sure. Is he a bad guy because of it? No, we have no reason to believe that. He's never done anything wrong, not been in trouble. So, you know, I suppose if he says it's the year of the takeover and the Packers back it up by winning the Super Bowl, people can take that. So, anyhow, JerMichael Finley, he's been a fantastic tight end for the Packers for a couple years. The potential for him is amazing. The knock on him is that he's not been able to be healthy these past few years. I mean, he has been, but not on a consistent basis. His rookie year, 2008, he really struggled. As a rookie, as many rookies do. So, you know, you give rookies a pass no matter what, just because they're learning the system and they're not quite perhaps mature as the veterans. So you give them a pass. 2009, he emerges on the scene and is has a huge year, shows that he could be one of the best tight ends in the entire NFL, and is, for all intents and purposes. You know, one of the leaders in the league among tight ends. And 2010 here, it starts off the year awesome, but gets injured after five games and is on injured reserve. And even during his big year in 2009, JerMichael Finley did have, you know, sat out a couple games with a knee injury as well. So, you know, been injured off and on. And, you know, he's this upcoming year, 2010, is the last year of his rookie contract. And, you know, he's poised to make a big. I mean, he could have a season-ending injury again, and he'll still make big money in free agency just based upon potential alone. Somebody out there will pay him that. You know, will the Packers be that team, though? That's the question. you know, the Packers frequently sign players to mid-season extensions, and that could be the case with JerMichael Finley, perhaps, if they want to make him a nice offer. But he may choose to go test the open market next year and be a free agent, perhaps an unrestricted free agent. That's the way it's looking as the CBA negotiations are going on here. So, you know, as long as he stays healthy, I think he has a big year, but we do add the word if, okay? I don't know if that's a big if or a small if. I'm not sure. But if he's healthy, he has a huge year and makes the Pro Bowl. I would say that's, I would go out on that limb. I don't even think it's much of a limb, to tell you the truth. You know, backing him up, we have Andrew Quarles, a rookie last year. You know, didn't do a whole lot, but again, he's a rookie. No rookies, you know, offer a whole lot. The majority of them don't. Those who contribute in their first year are the exception to the rule. Most do not. So you just hope he develops. That's where you're at with Andrew Quarles. But, you know, he made like four or five starts last year, scored a touchdown, one touchdown during the regular season, and you just, you know, hope that he can continue to build off that. Had a couple cases with drop balls, including, you know, kind of a one against, I believe, the Vikings last year that got a little bit of attention. I personally thought it wasn't the greatest thrown ball in the world. Still catchable, but anyhow, I mean, that's one thing people do to knock Andrew Quarles. And, you know, I recently wrote a feature article, probably, I mean, we're going back a month ago now, 3 weeks ago. And, you know, Andrew Quarles kind of came out and was a little outspoken about he didn't think the NFL's rookie symposium was worthwhile or offered very much. And, you know, in the comments to that article, a lot of people doubting Andrew Quarles and thinking, you know, well, we've got these rookies coming up. We got JerMichael Finley. He's going to be part of the team this year. And I think that's a little premature. So there's where we're at there with Andrew Quarles. Backing him up, well, I shouldn't say backing him up. I mean, just another person to add to the depth chart here. We have Tom Crabtree, everybody's favorite tweeter and social media maven. Tom Crabtree, you know, the best blocking tight end on the Packers, bar none. He has no equal. And, you know, his job is quite different from that of an Andrew Quarles or a JerMichael Finley, whereas they frequently will line up in a two-point stance, you know, as much as over 50% of the time. He is almost always in a three-point stance, lined up on the line of scrimmage next to a tackle, or perhaps even in the backfield, lined up as a fullback, and you know, kind of, in a way, used as an H-back himself. But, you know, he's a blocker, both a pass blocker and a run blocker, and excels at both. And, you know, we here at Cheesehead TV, we've had, you know, Tom Crabtree join us on a couple different platforms here, you know, as a guest on our show and the Tom Crabtree Book Club. So, of course, we're big fans of Tom, but I mean, we've seen highlights of him just annihilating people you know, during the Super Bowl. He had a big one when he blocked, was it Lamar Woodley, and just planted him during the Super Bowl. When he gets a chance to receive the ball, Tom Crabtree has been reliable. He hasn't gotten that many chances. I mean, how many catches did he have last year? I'm not sure he even reached double digits. He might have something like 8 receptions. Did have the big touchdown in the wild card playoff game against the Eagles. But he's been reliable. So there you go. You know, his job will be to block, and it will continue to be to block. That's how he'll make his calling. He'll contribute on special teams as well. And that's a very valuable role. So as long as he can continue to do that, I think there's a spot for Tom Crabtree on this Green Bay Packers team. Getting to the rookies, the two guys they just added in the draft this year. I was personally thrilled when the Packers drafted DJ Williams of Arkansas in the 5th round, because I thought, DJ Williams, you are getting one of the top prospects at the tight end position. You know, it's probably arguable that he might not be the top tight end in this year's draft class, but I think he's in the top 3, in the top 4. And to get a top player at that position as late as the 5th round, I thought that was big. And I think he's going to be good. As Lauren said, he's perhaps undersized a little bit, but he has ample receiving ability. Just was in a very heavy pass offense there at Arkansas, caught passes from Ryan Mallett, who is now a quarterback for the New England Patriots. And, you know, fantastic guy that I think will be a threat in the passing game. A guy who has decent speed for a tight end, can get down the seam. And, you know, perhaps he will fill an H-back role. You know, he could be a move tight end, a guy that's split out, a guy that's in the backfield, a guy that lines up on the scrimmage, a guy who can line up anywhere. He's versatile in that way. Can he overcome that lack of height? You know, can he line up outside as much as a JerMichael Finley and be effective out there? No, I don't think so. But if he's moved around in different situations, you know, and they're playing the matchup game, the Packers are with their opposing defense, that's how I think he can be effective. And, you know, even so much as catching balls out of the backfield, I think he could do that and could be effective at it. The second draft choice they had at the position, Ryan Taylor of North Carolina. And here's a guy who wasn't on, you know, many people's radars at all. I mean, he was a 7th rounder, so late to begin with. And, you know, I've read things where he was perhaps one of the best special teams players in the, you know, in this year's draft class. And that could have been almost the reason the Packers drafted him in the 7th round, more so than being a tight end. He's going to be one of their core players on special teams. One of the best players, you know, running down on kickoffs and punts, things like that. And, you know, that's how he's going to make the team this year. Even if he is a good tight end, the Packers just have so much depth at the position. He's going to have to make his mark on special teams to stick around. Now, he kind of evolved. He's a very versatile player. He played defense at North Carolina for a while. But, you know, as time went on, he became more and more involved as a tight end and had his best season the past year. And even at the end of the year, it kind of grew as the season went on. And then in the bowl game, just was on ESPNU the other night, the Music City Bowl against Tennessee. Ryan Taylor had something like 8 receptions for 85 yards, somewhere in that neighborhood, in his final collegiate game against Tennessee, in which I believe North Carolina won that bowl game. Mark points out on the live blog, he was a captain on special teams at UNC as well. So, you know, here's a guy that, going to make his mark on special teams, but, you know, could be part of this, you know, a group of tight ends that, you know, the Packers have a lot of, you know, so many people here who could make the roster. I wrote a column quite a while back that I think the Packers may move to more of an H-back role instead of fullbacks. You know, first of all, because both John Kuhn and Corey Hall are free agents and not guaranteed to be back with the Packers. I think it's all but a given John Kuhn will be back, but, you know, maybe not. But Corey Hall, that's kind of a coin flip right there, whether he will be. So maybe the Packers get away from H-back or fullbacks and go more toward H-backs and getting them involved in the offense and lining them up in the backfield when they need the services of a fullback. So that's kind of one thing I've thought about. I think the Packers will be making that transition, you know, this year. And, you know, people have speculated how many tight ends will the Packers actually keep this year. Will they keep three? JerMichael Finley, Andrew Quarles, and Tom Crabtree, just like last year. Again, Donald Lee, the Packers have cut Donald Lee in the offseason and moved on from him. So will the Packers keep three like last year, the same three who ended the season with the team? Or at least on, you know, on the roster. Not as I realize Finley was on injured reserve. Or do they keep four with DJ Williams or Ryan Taylor? Could they even keep as many as five? I have seen people guess that they will keep five tight ends this year. And, I mean, injuries will play a part in this. But by all means, injuries may play a part in this. I mean, God forbid, JerMichael Finley has a season-ending injury in training camp, and he's done for the year. Well, I guess they can't keep five then because they only got four on the roster to begin with. So, you know, it's keeping five would be a lot. I mean, teams do not keep five tight ends. They keep three for the most part. Most teams have three tight ends on their 53-man roster. It's not unheard of to keep four. The Packers have kept four in the past. To keep five, that would be, you know, pretty historical even. I don't think there's many teams in NFL history that have kept five tight ends. It very well could have happened before. I don't know who would have done it, but that's not a common occurrence. So the Packers would be in the, you know, probably the top one percentile of teams that have done that in NFL history. So that would be noteworthy. I mean, for that to happen, a lot of things the cards have to fall right. And one would be they'd all have to stay healthy, for one. You know, two, you're keeping guys who are kind of specialized. You know, Tom Crabtree as primarily a blocker. Ryan Taylor is perhaps primarily a special teams player. You know, can they afford to do that? Can they, you know, afford to keep specialized players like that? We don't know. I mean, it's certainly possible they throw a guy on the practice squad. A guy, you know, Ryan Taylor, you would think would be a practice squad candidate, you know, considering he shows something and is worthy of development in the future. Yeah, I see lots of guesses here on the live blog. Mark guesses they keep five. Illinois Pack fan says they keep four. Alex Talich, they will keep Finley, Corliss, Crabtree, and the two rookies, and one fullback. So that's six fullbacks and tight ends combined. You do have to kind of look at this in a way as to how many fullbacks, tight ends combined they will keep. It's possible they'll keep five tight ends and one fullback. Like Illinois Pack fan says here, keep four tight ends and two fullbacks. Last year, the Packers went with three fullbacks. I mean, so last year, coming out of training camp, the Packers went with many as seven. Coming out of training camp, they went with four tight ends, didn't they? Yeah, last year, they had Finley, Lee, Corliss, and Crabtree, and three fullbacks, so they've kept seven altogether. So, you know, keeping five tight ends, which would be a lot, isn't exactly out of the question if they, you know, cut back on one of their fullbacks this year, if they cut down from three to two there. and again, we're guessing, but you know, I could. All these are scenarios that are not exactly out of the question, not out of the realm of possibility. And a lot of it'll come down to how they perform during training camp. Of course, how they perform in the preseason. So there you go. Just around the corner. Next, a week from Saturday, a week from this upcoming Saturday, training camp slated to begin what we think will be the beginning of Packers training camp. This lockout has to end first, but you know, it looks like it's going to happen, as we say. So there you go. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me on Railbird Central today. Thank you to our moderators, Jamie Jors and John Rahor. Thank you to our guests on today's show, Lauren Fernandez and Amanda Lawson of Air Sports and the Packers blog in particular, Rogers That. So thank you for joining me on the show today, everyone, for talking Packers football. We'll be back on Friday talking more about your Green Bay Packers and hopefully the official end of the NFL lockout. We'll talk to you then, everyone. Thanks for joining me. Have a great Tuesday. We will see you later.